Now that we are reopening, a couple of the golf clubs, when they opened, the tee times where they had 266 available spots were booked out in 42 minutes. So you can imagine how the people are waiting to get onto the golf course.
The CPG Masterclass Series. Find out more at cp.golf/masterclass.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody, and welcome to today's CPG Masterclass Series webinar with Johan Hanf and Jonathan Manny, titled Life After COVID-19. My name is Tom Bentley. I'm the Communications and Event Manager for the Confederation of Professional Golf. So once again, welcome all, and I'll pass you straight on to Johan Hanf, who's the Chief Executive for the PGA of Sweden, and Jonathan Manny, who is the Chairman for the Ryder Cup European Development Trust and also coaches part-time as well. Jonathan, Johan.
So, good afternoon to everybody. Hi, lovely to have you all with us, and a particular hello to the gentleman in India. It's nice to see you guys. It would have been nice to have been there this week, but unfortunately, due to circumstances, that's not happening. Just a quick hi, welcome, and we hope that the next half an hour can help you with the next few months. I'll hand over to Johan just to introduce himself and say hi, and then I'll take over again and go into a little more detail.
Hi, everybody. Good to see some old faces and some new faces. As I said, my name is Johan Hanf. Just a quick introduction of me. I have a background as starting as a young player, then worked as a teaching professional for over 20 years before I started working with the PGA Sweden. In education first, and now for a little bit over a year, been the chief executive, and also had the benefit of being involved with the CPG for quite a few years, and also in the golf development work, where Central America, with the Costa Rica being the hub, has been my work, been part of that work for the last 7 years. So, and obviously here, it's an honor to be able to share some of the information that we've gathered from Sweden in this very difficult times. As you probably all know, Sweden has decided or chosen to handle this or approach this pandemic in a little different way. So I'll be happy to share and answer any questions a little later.
Great, Johan, thank you. A little bit about the webinar itself is when Johan and I discussed this, we actually were planning at doing it a little bit earlier. And then we figured out, obviously, we've got two different countries, Austria being one of the countries that was first to shut down, and Sweden, obviously, who haven't shut down at all. So we thought it would be good to do a little bit of a case study on Sweden, try and use and share the information that they've gathered over the last 1.5 months when we've all been sitting at home. So, maybe just a little bit to Austria. I mean, the government has got into contact with the Federation. They agreed that the Federation would give them guidelines as to where they should go, how they should try and approach the restart of golf. And, it's basically, I think it's causing quite a lot of problems. I mean, one of the opposition parties had a problem, and they wrote big headlines in the paper. Golf courses are open, but schools are not open. So that was the one thing that's arisen in the last couple of weeks. Now that we are reopening, which is obviously on the 1st of May, a couple of the golf clubs, when they opened, the tee times where they had 266 available spots were booked out in 42 minutes. So you can imagine how the people are waiting to get onto the golf course. The other thing, obviously, which is affected in Austria is we have a lot of small golf courses who are really reliant on tourism. And obviously, we don't even know by October this year with the tourism as it's going to be or as it is. If these golf courses are actually going to be open. So I think there are a lot of open questions. And before we hand over to Johan, I actually have a question to everybody. there's this little virus which has caused so much havoc and caused so many problems, COVID. Obviously, I can't see all of you, so I'm not going to see if you know what COVID actually means. But does anybody know what COVID stands for, the letter COVID? Anybody? Quick answer back, yes, no? Okay. Well, what I did is I went into Google, and I put it in meaning of COVID. And I'm just going to share my screen with you quickly. Hold on one second. There we go. This was one of the ideas that came up what it is. But as we know, that's not correct. And I love this modern technology. I think it's brilliant. Being able to share a screen is fantastic. So what we've done in the PGAs and in the CPG is we've actually also thought about it. And we came up with something different, which is basically, I'll share my screen again, is that. And if you put it together and you say collaboration and context, I think it's something that all of us have done over these last 6 weeks. We've tried to get our contact with the people, collaboration, the opportunities. I think for a lot of us, having the opportunity to spend more time with our families, spend more time at home doing things that you'd like to have done, and obviously lots of opportunities opening up for the future. Video. On video, I don't think I've seen that many films on YouTube in the last 6 weeks from golf professionals, which is fantastic, because I think now there's almost every lesson that you'd like to have is done on video. Internet, well, speaks for itself. The webinars and everything that we're going through, that's what it's made possible. And under D, we've got the data and the development. And I think data is something that all of us have had the opportunity of collecting and obviously looking at further development as to how the future is going to go. So I think from my side, what I'd like to sort of give you is, if you've done your homework and you've done the things that possibly can help us for the future, and with experience of some of the stuff that Johan's going to tell us, I think we could be in a good position. So I'll hand over to Johan, and Johan, if you can give us your experience.
Well, thank you, Jonathan. I thought I will, since there some of you are involved with the organization, and there's a lot of familiar faces that works out on the different golf clubs, I thought I'd start addressing this a little bit, what we've learned in Sweden since the virus was more or less started here at the same time as the golf season started. As you know, Sweden is a quite long country. And as spring comes, the golf courses open up further and further north. So I'll talk a little bit about what we've learned, what we've seen. I also talk a little bit of what we've done on our organization level as a PGA and what has happened, some really interesting stuff. Then bring it down to an individual level, how our professionals, how we support them, but actually how they work out on the golf clubs. Get into some practical tips. We've seen some interesting game changes within the game of golf itself, which is really interesting, that I think you might think of and take with you with interest. I think it's some really positive things. Obviously, COVID-19 has hit us all, and luckily in Sweden for me and for our members is that golf is still opened. I've just received figures that on a global basis there are over 200,000 people dead as a consequence of the COVID, and so it's absolutely something that we need to take very seriously. And as golf clubs open, because I think golf has maybe a more important role in society now than ever. When people are being locked inside, people don't meet people, socialized, getting active, etc. Golf is actually fits good in the current situation. As Jonathan said, golf is booming in Sweden. The figures we're getting is. We haven't seen these figures since the 80s, when golf was really booming. membership is increasing in most areas. Number of rounds is ridiculously, it's even hard to get tee times. We see lesson being booked. I mean, most of our members are fully booked. We see a little difference in if you're in the big city regions, green fees are up, but as you move away from the big city regions, green fees are down. Obviously, company days are at zero. And also sponsorship into the clubs are hurting quite bad. So in many cases, the total financial situation for the club is very positive. And as you move away from some areas, the total economy of the club is a little bit unstable. However, having said that, we can now track that more people are playing on their home club than they have for probably forever, which really means that the golf club becomes more, so to speak, relevant than it has been in a very long time. And we see that as an opportunity. On an organizational level, we really quickly formed a crisis group together with the other governing bodies, so to speak, especially us and the Federation. We've always had a very good relationship, but this has moved us even closer together. So we have weekly webinars or meetings, and sometimes when things come up, we, on a very short notice, hook up on webinars like this to inform. And it has helped us in our relationship, it has strengthened our relationship, and it's also puts us in a position where we add value in a greater number to the Federation. Moving down, and obviously since we have in Sweden tournament professional members, we have club professional coaches, but we also have quite a few golf managers. It's a growing membership categories we have. The category that is hurting the most right now is the tournament professional, because all tournament play is banned. There's none whatsoever. So we have to support them, and we've done that through e-learning webinars and sending information on what kind of help they can acquire, etc. But we also decided, since our coaches are so busy, we don't want to interfere. What we do is we support them with guidelines, with regular information, what is going on, etc. So they are informed, so they could be active and present at the golf clubs, spreading information to the members, so they become maybe more relevant and giving more values to the golf clubs and the members, which in the long run would put them in a stronger and a better positions. In a crisis, because there have been crises before, and we believe, and we've got some help to channel this information, is so important not to get too emotional, to make sure you use your frontal lobe, so to speak, and be strategic. And this is maybe for some of you that are locked down, not being able to work. What we've said is try to invest time in yourself. Try to plan and structure yourself so when things open up again, you are in a stronger and a better position than you were when we went into this. Because most likely is that we will see the same tendency as we've seen in Sweden. Now, Jonathan gave some indication. Germany, we've opened up in a few areas, etc. So we need to be prepared. But also coming back to what we said, make yourself valuable for the golf club or the facility. You need to be present. You need to be active. And you need to have all the answers to when people, because there's a lot of scared people out there. Coming back a little bit more, what we see, how the game has reacted since people, the golf clubs are a perfect place to be, but a lot of people go out to the golf clubs, but we also see them not taking responsibility and following the guidelines the government and the authorities give. And this is a big threat to the game. So our members, the PGA profession, need to be nice police, so to speak, out there making sure that people don't get too close, don't gather in big groups, because we see now the police in Sweden are doing randomly checks out on facility, checking that actually restaurants, golf clubs, whatever, are following the regulations that are put into place. Some of you have probably got the information from Sweden that they're doing this in restaurants, and they've shut down quite a few restaurants already. And I think it would be disaster if we would get the spotlight on the game of golf, shutting down pieces of the activities of the golf clubs or golf clubs as a whole. And that is something we communicate to the members on a daily basis now. We've seen a very interesting change in the behavior of the golfer itself. Since, you know, they've RNA has and USGA has changed the rules. There are guidelines and things you put in the cup that the ball won't fall in, etc. They're taking away the rakes from the bunker, etc. So suddenly everybody managed to play golf faster. Tournament play, as we said, is out of the question. There's no tournaments whatsoever. But people play faster and people play social game in a much larger extent. They're back to the roots of playing 3 to 6 holes in the afternoon. They're playing together with the family-wise. It's back to the magic of hitting the golf ball and okay, I sliced one into the woods. I'm putting another one out there and hit a couple of more shots out there. So the essence of the game is actually brings back to the roots. And some of our members, they've in their courses, especially in the beginner classes, they're starting to enlighten this and highlight this to get the people to play faster, play more for fun, to take away the result and the stable forward and the structured play to be more fun, more social, and more into the beauty of being able to hit the ball and all these things. This is something that we, together with the Federation, has brought up. So we started thinking, if golf was a product, how would we market the product? How would we start advertising? What kind of feeling do we try to spread around around Sweden connected to the game? So, and in my view, coming a little bit from the brand perspective, because I was on my way away from golf, getting into design and brand management, I think this is really, really interesting questions that come out of this crisis, so to speak. Finally, getting down to some practical things, we have sent out guidelines to the professionals that they could advertise on their clubs, but also as a guide for them. And we also formed guidelines that they can send out to the students so they are prepared before they come to the golf club, to a golf session or whatever. And obviously, gathering in large groups, and you most of you are probably very aware of this, but just small tips like, obviously, if you feel sick, stay at home and then wash your hand on a regular basis before and after the session. Try to stay outside. Our members who are using studios and indoor, we're trying to move as much as possible outdoor. Obviously, if you sneeze or cough, do that in your elbow or armpit, but avoid touching your eyes, nose, etc. Use disinfectant as much as possible, but also have that on a spread out on your driving range and your training facility so people can wash their hand on a regular basis. People within risk groups, we don't want them close, even to the golf clubs. And I think we also had a guideline creating a routine that 24 hours in advance, when before a session, send out these guidelines to your students so they are prepared. Regarding lending out materials, equipment, etc., we say make sure people use their own equipment and not spread the equipment around. Very important. And then customize your teaching and your sessions to avoid physical contact at all. We try to keep the 2-meter distance as a minimum. And obviously, if you see a student or a golfer that shows any symptoms, we have the obligation of making sure that they are leaving the premises. And we do believe that playing on the course is probably the best place to be to both practice and you don't get too close. The downside is that the courses are so populated right now, so it might be difficulty. In Sweden, we have a maximum of groups of 25 people. You probably have all individual regulations wherever you come from. And having said that, it's very much common sense. But once again, I think it's very important that we all take this extremely serious and making sure we and our members follow the guidelines, because if we don't, the spotlight might come back to the game in a negative way, and we all are hurting. I think as golf is booming right now, we should be careful, and we should be aware of it and use it in a positive way. And as I said, we promote social play, fun, and making sure you see your PGA professional, because they could help you having more fun and enjoying the game as much as you can. So that is in general what I like to share at this point. Jonathan.
Yeah, thanks for this. Thanks, Johan. I think that's great. You know, I'm sort of just listening and what I hear out of it is, obviously, I think for most of this year, our members are going to be probably our most important asset at the golf clubs. And I was just wondering if you had any ideas for us as to how the members can work for us in sort of bringing new people from the surroundings. Have you had anything to do with that yet?
What is interesting with the Federation, we and this is as a consequence, and this is actually what we talked about before the situation we're in. We talked about how do we market the golf in a bigger picture? And in this work, we always analyze on where do we get people into the game? And we know that especially on junior side, if you don't have a friend or a parent that plays golf, that there's not likely you get into the game. And we have structured the game in Sweden in a way that we have a lot of voluntary leaders, a lot of parents that are engaged in recruiting and supporting, etc. And I think at the same time now, when golf is booming, people are, we think we see, so to speak, that people come from new categories into the game. And I think as a single PGA professional at the golf club, or if you have a couple of assistants, with the big numbers coming in, it will be very difficult for you to take care of everybody by yourself. So having some encouraged, some good people, some members to be helping, supporting you, getting them into the clubs could be a good way of going. We try not to get them too much into the, you know what I mean.
Okay.
You know what I mean. But definitely, yeah. Definitely see them as an asset instead of a threat.
Great. Good. Then... thanks again, Johan, for that. Tom, thank you very much for your help, and we'll gladly answer a few questions if there are any. So I'll hand over to Tom, and you take it from there.
Thank you, Johan, and thanks, Jonathan. And I hope everybody found that pretty interesting to hear how Sweden's coping with the crisis. I mean, it's obviously very well documented that things have been able to keep moving relatively with ease there compared to the rest of Europe and, in fact, the world. But I'll start things off. We've got two unique scenarios here where Sweden has managed to relatively stay open, and then Austria has hit pause and then will re-hit play on the 1st of May. Just wondering what key differences both of you see that in, how that might impact golf in general. So from a golf club level to a PGA, to a professional, for example.
Talking from the Austrian side, I think the PGA in Austria have been very good in their communication with the members. The guidelines which have been put out through the Federation and through the PGA. As I said before, I think what Johannes has mentioned, sort of being aware of the importance of your membership and being aware of the communication with your members and making sure that you've informed them of the requirements that you're going to have. I think for the golf clubs, to be honest with you, I think it's going to be a little bit of a struggle in certain areas, as Johan mentioned. I think going sort of into the touristic areas, it's going to be a lot harder because we've just heard today that Germany have stopped tourism outside of Germany until I think the 15th of June already. So I think by the time sort of we get the tourists coming to Austria, it's going to be quite a while. I think on the other side, sort of closer to the towns, to the bigger areas, I think it's a big opportunity, and particularly with a lot of the other sports not opening yet, sort of the indoor sports, I think it is a time where we could possibly get a lot of the other people involved in golf. It just needs to be marketed correctly. And as far as the golf professionals are concerned, I mean, I think if they've done their homework, I don't think it'll be too much of a problem for most of them. For those that are working in the touristic areas, it's going to be a little bit tougher, I would imagine.
So ultimately, in those respects, there's going to be some form of switch from international sort of inbound tourism to actually just looking at your domestic market and focusing on those in the way you market your products. Yeah, interesting.
Pretty much so.
Yeah, I agree. Just a quick comment. I agree with Jonathan, because obviously Sweden is open, but we have very strict regulations regarding travel. I mean, going abroad is out of the question, but even within the country, which means that your close market becomes much more important. And also, as I mentioned, the membership becomes more relevant, or the golf club is more relevant than it is. And I see that as an opportunity, because the pendulum has moved actually on away from the club being important. The clubs in Sweden has struggled for many years now of attracting members in general, so to speak. And now suddenly clubs that have been suffering now are having hundreds, 180, I guess some numbers, new members into the clubs.
Thanks for that. A few questions this can be tied all together, really, I think for you, Johan, on practical tips, really. One of them is, what's Sweden doing in relation to group numbers teeing off, two balls, three balls? One's on group lessons. What's the sort of regulations on that? And then driving ranges in general as well.
Yeah. The general approach in Sweden is it's the individual's responsibility to make sure you don't spread the disease. We have regulations regarding 25 people in a group, but that's a big number. And we have the minimum of 2 meters. And so that more or less regulates how you can structure your session, so to speak. The recommendations we've gone out with is obviously groups as small as possible is easier to handle, easier to control. Juniors are more difficult to control, especially when it becomes bigger numbers, because you have a putting session, which shouldn't be any problem, because you can put them practice outside, around the practice green, but they start running around and, you know, playing, etc. And so we give guidelines, as I said. Playing, we don't have any other regulation saying that you're playing three or four foursome, so to speak, but it's every individual making sure the 2 meter limit, no physical contact, et cetera, et cetera.
Just to add something to that, I think one of the directions that Austria has taken is that they looked at it and they said, if you put restrictions down, particularly with the amount of people that are wanting to play, you're basically limiting your tee times and also the amount of golfers that you're going to be able to get over the golf course. So they've left it open, but basically, I mean, as far as all the questions that have come in, I think it basically they're leaving it up to the own individual, the responsibility to abide by the restrictions that have been given by the government. So all the things that Johan has mentioned, those are as long as those are upheld to, then there's not a problem.
And ultimately, that comes down to the fact that there might be quite a lot of individual professionals on here now that they're going to play a key role and are playing a key role as to when golf reopens, to ensure they know the guidelines so that the club knows the guidelines, and there's a knock-on effect, right?
I think that is absolutely crucial. And I know we through CPG, we worked on some guidelines as a support. So everybody who's listening, if you don't have it, I'm pretty sure, Tom, you will be able to circulate
Yeah, I'll just add to that. We issued, I think it was last week, a joint statement as a collective of PGAs on the whole coronavirus COVID-19 process with our own policy, which is stay safe, stay learning. You can access the statement on the CPG website, which gives you a bit more information on there about it. But ultimately, the essence of it is there's five key areas of the guidelines, which is engaging with governments, both local and national, engaging with and unifying state of various golf stakeholders from your PGAs to your federations to your tours, etc. Engaging with member professionals, promoting the safe playing of golf, which is some of the things we've talked about today. And then also quite an important point, I think, is the physical and mental well-being benefits of golf as well, because ultimately that's going to play a key role for people wanting to go back out onto the golf course, especially at this time with some of the health dangers out there. Ultimately, golf provides a lot of physical and mental health benefits, and so people should be taking advantage of that as soon as possible. So yeah, as I say, that information is on the CPG website, and there is ultimately all the PGAs under the CPG banner are on the same wavelength with regards to that.
I hope this comes across, because even if it's a serious situation, but I think there's tons of opportunities connected to this. But we need to, both on an organizational level, we need to act mature. We need to take responsibility, but we could also take that responsibility and drive this forward. Be in contact with your federation and other national bodies. Show your interest, saying that we take this very seriously. But also on an individual level, the PGA professional out on the golf club can, if they take responsibility, if they follow the guidelines, and if they've been proactive, they could strengthen their position, which in the long run strengthen the PGA brand itself. And as I said, also with the game, I'm a big fan, because I think time and slow play is a big threat to the game itself. Now it's a huge difference in the speed of play in Sweden. So it's be interesting to see how this acts out in the rest of the world.
Just finish finally on one more. Where do you, we've talked about sort of the current impacts, the situations at the minute. Where do you see this more as a mid to long term going in your views?
That's actually a tough question. I think a lot of it depends on exactly the points that we've spoken about. I mean, what we don't need in golf is, we don't need to be a hotspot for the virus. That's one thing we don't need. So as long as the people are responsible and do the things they're supposed to do, I think the game can profit very much from the situation. I think it's something, particularly coming back to Austria, I think a lot of the Austrians will no longer have a summer holiday this year. So if it's marketed and done correctly, there's opportunities there of getting more people into the game. As I said before, getting people now into the game through the opportunities of other sports not being open. For the golf professionals, I think if they've marketed and if they've done their homework, they can definitely profit from the situation. The obviously one of the next points which they need to start thinking about is for the professionals or the people that take trips during the winter months, how they're going to try and fill up that gap coming into the winter 2021. So there are a lot of questions open. If I had a 100% answer, I'd love to give it to you. But I think opportunities are there as long as they're dealt with correctly.
I agree. I think it's a very, very difficult question, because no one can say, because we don't know if there's a second wave coming. What I believe is that international travel will take some time. I mean, the virus is going to stay with us for quite some time. So this season, people, especially in Sweden, and I know in some of the other countries where people during holiday time usually travel, they're going to stay at home, which means that they're going to spend the money at home. And people need to have something to do. People's going to spend time more with the families. So in this, golf fits brilliantly. So I think this year, golf is going to really have a positive impact almost everywhere. The question is, how do we make sure then that these people stay in the game when things go back to normal? And that is something that we need to think about.
It's interesting. You use the example that I've talked about with the joint statement. You look at some others, such as the PGA of Sweden with the Federation. There's been a sort of sense of organizations at industry level wanting to collaborate more closely, or actually not wanting to, there's actually just a general need for organizations across the industry to have to work together to get through this ultimately as well, isn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, great. Thank you for that, Johan and Jonathan. And thank you to everybody who was involved with the webinar today. Really, really appreciate the support.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Stay safe, everybody.
Yes, stay safe.
The CPG Masterclass Series. Find out more at cp.gov/masterclass.